Of the Gospel according to Luke, and while you're turning there, I just want to take a moment. Perhaps you noticed the flowers right before me here. Christmas is a special time of year. It's certainly a special time of year for all the right reasons, but I have an extra blessing at Christmas because I got married at Christmas. I got married at Christmas 41 years ago tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and so these flowers are for my bride and for Becky, and she has put up with me for all these years. Pray for her continually, if you will. But Becky, I love you, and I am so thankful that you have stood by me and helped me, and you are a great blessing to my life, and cannot thank you enough. And so these are for her. And if you would now turn to the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. We will begin in the beginning of that chapter. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's go to the Lord for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you for this very familiar passage that tells us of a very important story. Father, I pray that we would just not pass off the truths of Christmas, but that we would take them to heart. I pray that this hour, Father, would be a change moment in our lives, that because of what you have done for us, we would take it so seriously, Father, that we would be more faithful to you in coming days than we have ever been. Father, that we would do in our lives what you would call us to do, and Father, that we would see your glory. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many stories told during the Christmas season. Some reflect even the hostile attitudes of our day. There's one that's told again and again and again, Charles Dickens' Scrooge. It tells the attitude that many have this time of year. Of course, you know the saying of Scrooge. That was what? Bah, humbug. How quickly you came up with that. It's not a Baptist saying, by the way. In this time of great joy, many people in the world are just very grim. They don't have any source of joy within them, and they don't know the truth that the Scriptures reveal. They don't even know the truths that this passage reveals. This passage of the true Christmas story can grip your heart, and it can change your life. In fact, the power of this message can be seen in the fact that how the world tries to silence it. Cities have made room for menorahs, and they have places to celebrate possibly the lighting of a holiday tree. But people get offended at a depiction of a manger with a child we call Jesus. When I was a wee lad of a boy, we celebrated Christmas. And when we would celebrate Christmas, we would get together and we would sing. And we would sing songs like, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and "Silent Night." And we would even sing "Joy to the World." Now, that may not be a shock to you because we still sing those songs. I sang them with my buddies in school. Public school. What's happened in our land? What's happened that we've drawn away and people have actually gotten afraid of proclaiming Christ? You might get by, of course, in today's world with talking about that this is a season of love and of hope, but they won't let you talk of why it's a season of love and hope. Today you can elevate Kwanzaa, but you can't elevate the Christ. We're still trying to figure out what that is. You can talk about Santa, just don't talk about the Savior. The world really has a problem. We've touched on this a little bit before. You see, they can't get rid of the Christmas season. Christmas has become the largest economic stimulus for the world. They can't get rid of it. In the United States, Christmas is responsible for 20 to 25% of total retail sales for the year. On average, America spends $781 billion, billion with a B, dollars for gifts at Christmas. We spent $127 million just on Cyber Monday, and a lot of us can't even find a keyboard on a computer. People talk about the greening of the planet, and there was a big push to get rid of Christmas trees. Well, you know why they were not successful in getting rid of Christmas trees? Because Christmas trees, we're talking about the real trees, Christmas trees generate over $1 billion a year. Bless their little hearts. They can't afford to get rid of Christmas. But because it is what keeps America afloat financially. Now, I know for years I have been on the bandwagon with many of you that we don't like the commercialization of Christmas. But as I've taken a new look at passages in Luke and just kind of put everything aside when we started this study and started from scratch and looked afresh at this passage, I was kind of amazed to find out that the first Christmas had financial ties. The very first Christmas, God uses a pagan emperor and his desire for money. In verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city." We have politicians today. We have politicians that are running for office. We need to pray for those. We need to pray for somebody to run for office that will stand for the right things. But our politicians seem to have tremendous egos. Well, they have a long line of predecessors. All the way back, if you go all the way back to the Caesars and you find Caesar Augustus, you find an individual with a tremendous ego. He ruled in Rome from 31 B.C. to 15 A.D., he had been Julius Caesar's favorite nephew. And when Julius Caesar was retired by the knives of his friends, the greatest threat to the throne was a fellow by the name of Mark Antony. But Mark Antony committed suicide. Augustus seized the opportunity. He declared himself emperor of Rome, and he declared himself God of the universe. What an ego. He expanded the Roman Empire. You know how he did it? By getting more and more men in his army. Well, how do you pay for more and more men in the army? You tax. And so he would levy taxes, and the taxes would fund the army. And when he had conquered a new land, there would be new taxes. He expanded the Roman Empire. So this pagan false god decides, I think we should have a Christmas tax. Now, he didn't know it was a Christmas tax, but we know that. He says, I think we should have a Christmas tax. I think everybody should be taxed. Listen, you're going to find that everything that happens in the Christmas story is important. There is not one detail you can throw away. There is not one thing in the Bible, in fact, you can push to the side. That means every word of God is important. And you and I, if we believe in God and we believe in Jesus, we should get in God's word, we should get God's word into us, and we should live by it day in and day out, and we should seek to keep what his word says. All this news about taxing leads us to a special moment in verse 4 and 5. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. On a first look, you might see this tax as being an inconvenience. I have kind of seen all taxes as being an inconvenience. But this tax especially came just at the wrong time. Taxes are really never pleasant. But this particular tax, by the way, this is my favorite tax of all time. This tax makes the difference for me and for you. This tax, the most important tax that has ever been put on a people. Did it come at the wrong time? Well, you might think so for Mary and Joseph. But it called them to go to Bethlehem. An inconvenient time? Yes. You see, Joseph had accepted responsibility for Mary and her unborn child, and he was going to take care of her. She was now 8.5 months along. If you are uneducated in this, let me just say she was very pregnant. She was expecting, and you knew she was expecting without asking. And so she was very well along the way. Her situation was that there was nobody to stay with. You know, her mom and dad are never mentioned in Scripture. It is very likely that they had already passed away or they had turned away in some fashion. In either case, she couldn't stay with them. Either an orphan or deserted. If she had had family, Joseph might have left her with those parents. Oh, what a tragedy that would have been. If Mary had have had people to stay with, then he might have left her alone with those people. If he had left her alone with those people, then the baby would have had to have been born in Nazareth. They had another inconvenience. Not only was there going to be a tax, but they had to go to the place of the taxing. They had to go for census. They had to travel 80 miles. Now, under many circumstances, ladies who are in advanced stages of pregnancy don't travel anywhere. Now Mary finds, while she's about to have a baby any day, she's got to take an 80-mile journey. Don't worry, Mary. Got a donkey for you to ride on. I remember when we were going to the hospital with our firstborn son, Jerison, for him to be born, I remember hitting a railroad track. I still hear about that railroad track to this day. Mary would ride on a donkey when she was not walking. Think of it. If they had gotten the word 1 or 2 days later, Jesus would have been born on the trail. You ever think God doesn't care about details? Just consider this. Think about this tax. Augustus, who declared that there should be a tax, lived 800 miles away from Jerusalem. And so one day he wakes up and he decides there needs to be a tax. I don't want anybody to get away from this tax, so we're going to count heads. So let everybody go to the city of their birth. We'll make sure everybody pays the tax. He makes that decision. Then he makes that decree. Well, listen, we've got time and space to cover. This isn't today. He didn't pick up his iPhone. He didn't get online. He just told somebody, make it so. And so what they did is they would send envoys. The envoys would then go by ship to different port cities. They would go to those port cities, and when they got to the port cities, they would be met by runners that were employed by the Roman government. Those runners would then run to the city hubs, and from the city hubs, then to the villages. And all the authorities would be let known that there's going to have to be a tax, and that tax has to be put in place. And then all the people have to be informed, and then all the people have to have a day that they're going to actually show up for the taxing. Had Augustus delayed even one day, listen, had Augustus delayed 1 hour, could have made all the difference in whether or not Mary made it to Bethlehem. The baby would not have been born where the baby needed to be born if there had not been a census. I'm telling you, God cares about details. God cares about what's going on in your life. God cares about everything in your life. You may be thinking, what's the big deal? A tax now, a tax later. We're always going to have taxes. They're always going to be with us. It's all about getting Mary to Bethlehem. You see, God set over 300 prophecies in place about the first coming of Jesus. If one of those had not come about, then God's word would not be true. Jesus could not come. He could not be the Messiah. They all had to be fulfilled. And let me tell you, they all were fulfilled. They had to be fulfilled exactly because those prophecies set aside exactly who the Messiah is, when the Messiah is going to come, what the Messiah is going to do, and where the Messiah is going to be born. In Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in all Israel, whose goings forth have been told from everlasting and from everlasting." The ruler of Augustus Caesar, his ruling to have a tax and a census, called men to come to the place of their birth. The lack of family to leave Mary with. The time of travel, the time that they left Nazareth, the speed that they traveled. All of that meant something. If there had not been a tax, if Mary had been left behind, if they had delayed the trip, if they had had a flat tire on that donkey, I'm telling you, anything could have happened that would have delayed her travel, which would have meant Jesus could not have been born in Bethlehem. And if Jesus had not been born in Bethlehem, he could not have fulfilled the prophecy. He could not be the Messiah. God moves on intent, not by accident. And so what I'm telling you, believer, is God's got a reason why you should be in God's house. God has decreed that his children should come into God's house, that we should make it part of our lifestyle, and it should be something that we do regularly. He, in fact, mandated that. Missing God's word in God's house might just miss God's direction for your life, for you to be and for you to have the help that you need to be what God wants you to be. We need to be obedient to God. Have you ever thought about how thankful you should be that Joseph was an obedient taxpayer? Had Joseph decided, well, I could get away with not paying my taxes, that wasn't Joseph. Special moments are not always convenient moments. They made the trip to Bethlehem. Joseph was a typical male. He forgot to make reservations. They get there. They find that there are no rooms. By the way, the inn actually has a name. It's known as Chinhem's Inn. It's not new to that to the city of Bethlehem at this time. In fact, Jeremiah stayed there in 2 Samuel 19. Because of the tax, men came into Bethlehem in droves. They took over the inn and there was no room. Now, I say men because men went because of the tax. Most of the men would have left their wives behind. Joseph did not. Do you find it interesting that no women are mentioned? Do you understand that there was not a single woman in this story to help Mary in this process? No one to help and assist in her birth. We say Jesus was born in a manger. You know, that's not right. He was born and laid in a manger. There's a difference. A manger is actually a feeding trough, and so he was not actually born in the feeding trough. After he was born, he was wrapped and he was laid there. The manger points to Mary and Joseph being given space. We make a big deal about how horrible it was, but let me tell you, they had been on the road out in the open all this time during the travel. It's better than what they had been traveling in their travels. And so they have a place. They have some kind of covering over them. It was a type of cattle shed, if you will, and a cattle stall. And my traveling to Bethlehem kind of opened my eyes a little bit. Like many of you, my vision had been that little lean-to barn thing that we see. Actually, it was more likely in a cave. There are little cave croppings all over the area, and they are very commonly, even still today, used for cattle sheds, and so that was very likely. If you go to the Church of the Nativity and you see the place that has been set aside is the place of Jesus' birth, we don't know that that's the actual spot, but it could be. It gives you kind of that setting. It's a little cave outcropping. And you know, have you ever noticed that people give the innkeeper a bad time? Let me give you a little surprise. The innkeeper is not even mentioned in Scripture. We don't know that there was an innkeeper. Was there an inn? Yes, there was. We know that. But God doesn't say anything about the innkeeper. It is very likely that Joseph got there and it was obvious that the inn was full and overflowing. And so he sought care and sought to house his little family somewhere else, and was able then at the innkeeper's discretion or at next to the inn or at somebody's agreement allowed to stay in this little stall area. I am so amazed at the strength of this woman. Now, giving women their due, all men are totally amazed at the strength of any woman that has a child. Men, amen? Men, you better amen. It is an extreme act of sacrifice and strength that none of us will ever, ever know anything about. But Mary, wow. You see, she had this child by herself in that stall. She had this child. When it says that they wrapped the babe in swaddling cloths, she did that. She took the newborn babe that she just delivered and placed it in the manger. She did that. Oh, wait a minute. Joseph was there to help. Yeah. I'm sure he did whatever he could do. But you've got to be impressed with this young mother. And you got to know the great strength that she had to bring Jesus into this world. This special moment was fulfilled. And it fulfilled what Mary and Joseph had been told by the angel Gabriel. The virgin gave birth just as it was foretold by Isaiah. It was only through the miracle birth that Jesus could be born. God would be all God and all human and come to Bethlehem. A special moment. There's a shocking message that takes place. There were shepherds in the field watching over their sheep. Usually they were not allowed close to a town. In fact, shepherds were considered unclean. They couldn't even go into the temple to worship. And so they normally did not get very close to a city. They were close to a city, though, because they were raising special sheep. You see, they were raising sheep that would have been used in the temple sacrifice. They were raising sheep that would be used for the Passover. In verse 10 and 11, "And an angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Shepherds were the lowest of the lowest in society. And God jumps over the hurdles of social barriers. He jumps over the hurdles of their standing. He jumps into the night. They work through the night. And he gives them this shocking news. The Messiah is come. God chose to announce this miraculous news to the men who were responsible for raising the sheep for sacrifice. God tells them, the angel tells them, God's Passover lamb has come. You have served, you have raised your lambs, but God has a better lamb. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. The angel tells them not to be afraid. Jesus comes and he takes on fear. He takes on our greatest fear generally is death. He takes that on. And he gives us victory that only Jesus can give. In verse 10, it says that this good news is for all people. Jesus didn't come for just a select few. He came for everyone. By the way, Jesus not only came for everyone, he came for each one. He came for you. He came for me. You know, most big things that happen are for somebody else. This is for me, and it's for you, and certainly for each shepherd. Here they are. They have gathered together, and they have gotten news that the world has been waiting for. Then there were a whole bunch of angels praising God and declaring, proclaiming glory to God and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Listen, you want peace, you want goodwill, you got to get Jesus. Now the shepherds are left. Angels are gone. Here they are. Shepherds, you've been chosen out of all the people of the world to get the news first that the Messiah has come. Where are you going to go now? We're going to Disney. No, we're going to Bethlehem. And they went to Bethlehem because there was a sign. You see, the angel said there should be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. You normally did not find babes wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. And so they head to Bethlehem. When they get to Bethlehem, they find the baby in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like the angels had told them, and that told them everything is true. All God's word proves itself to be true. They knew the Savior had come. And so we find a shared miracle in verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad, saying, the saying which was told them concerning the child. When you believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, when you get serious about Jesus, when you know that you've been forgiven of your sin, praise God he forgives our sins. When you take that to yourself, you just got to tell somebody. If it's real to you, then you want it to be real to others. You got to share it. You can't be quiet about it. The Bible says they shared the news abroad. That means they not only told their friends, they told everybody they knew. They told everybody they came in contact with. Then they went out finding other people to tell. They had seen the most amazing thing. They had come into the most amazing news. No one else had this news. They had it. They had to share it. You've got it. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you've got to tell somebody. How in the world can you let somebody go to hell when you have the news that changes all that? If you believe the miracle of Christmas and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you should be doing what the shepherds did, spreading the news. The Bible says that Mary had pondered these things. She had thought them over in her mind. My goodness, what she has to think about. Dr. Luke comes calling one day, and she shares the miracle. The angels came. She was a virgin at the time, and God allowed her to have a miracle child. She became pregnant by a miracle. The child was born in Bethlehem because there was a tax. The baby's first guest were shepherds. And when they had seen the child, they went away praising God that the Messiah had come. This is Christmas. the shepherds accepted the news they received. Have you accepted the news of Christmas? Have you invited Jesus into your heart? You see, you can know all the things we say about Christmas and never invite Jesus to be your Savior, and Christmas will never come to you. But today, it can all be changed. Today, you can say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe He came for me. Yes, I believe He died on a cross, was buried, that He rose again. Yes, I believe He died for my sins, and I want to be saved. You can receive God's Christmas gift by just walking down an aisle, saying, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll save your soul today. Now, you may have already done that. If you have, I am so glad you have. Have you ever told anybody? Have you ever followed through with believer's baptism? Well, perhaps today is the day God's calling you to that. And you just come and tell us, and we'll help you do what God wants you to do. Maybe you need a church home and God said this is the place. There's great news at Christmas. We need to hold it in our hearts and we need to share it with everybody we see. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask in this moment that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. In this moment, Father, I pray that you would help us, Father, help us to receive Jesus as our Savior's Father. For all those that do not know you. Father, in this moment, help us to draw closer to you than we have ever been. In this moment, let us commit ourselves to tell the good news. Father, let us do it all now, in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant.
Seated as our ushers come for a time of offering. Remind you that our offering time continues our invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, if there's decisions you need to make, you come and make it and we'll be here to receive you. And let's pray together. Father, we do pray now that you would bless this time of offering. Continue to draw our hearts to Jesus, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. some exciting news to share with you, and I'm going to ask the best.